Thanks, everyone, for attending. It's fantastic to see so many people right to the end. I really, really appreciate it. I've got to say thank you, obviously, to all of our sponsors and partners. We really are grateful for this because, obviously, without all of you in attendance and working with us, the event wouldn't go on. So we're really grateful for that, especially the Event Scotland team who have been brilliant to in supporting us in Glasgow Life, as well as obviously our headline partner Greco and David DeBear sitting over there, who made some fantastic opening remarks as well from the supplier point of view. I don't know what to say because, you know, I didn't prepare anything for this chat.
Doesn't usually stop you, Adam.
No, it doesn't stop me. But it's so many things to take in. I think you hear a lot about youth and innovation and technology. It sort of blows your mind a little bit. I had a very interesting discussion with a guy called Tom Kingsley for EY, who does the sports indexes. And it was interesting because a lot of these panels were talking about the introduction of youth and engaging youth. And we did the top four sports, both in terms of participation and engagement. So we looked at the adults for UK, and we looked at the Generation Z, which is the 18 to 24. And there were two sports on the Gen Z list, which are really interesting. Could anyone name them? Which two sports were in the top four for Gen Z? Anyone can make any suggestions? Boxing. Yeah, boxing, well done. And badminton. Yeah, exactly, badminton. Now, I said, why? And he said, well, badminton, because I think someone mentioned it yesterday, the local communities and how these residential recreational centres have badminton courts. Everyone has one. And no one talked about it so much is the crossover. So what you're getting now, you're getting huge disruption exactly into the industry now. So you look at boxing now, you look at YouTubers, how that's raised the profile of a sport is unbelievable. And I think that's really interesting to probably for a lot of destinations and rights holders to acknowledge is that crossover appeal. You might not like it, it might be crappy, but it raises eyeballs to a point that no other thing can. And I think that was a really, really interesting point that I took from that as well. So yeah, it was, these things that I think it's good for us to acknowledge what's happening in industry as a whole.
Absolutely, yeah. Sure. Speaking of sort of crossover appeal, that sort of brings us around to what we're all about at Host City, really, as the greatest meeting of sports, business and cultural events. And although it's been highlighted that it's more sports than culture, nonetheless, I think we're particularly grateful and hope that you are too of the opportunity to bring so many of you together from different types of events and the host of the events, the organisers of those events and the top tier suppliers as well to talk about the theme of the conference, which is driving and reacting to change and to hear so many different perspectives on that. And interesting to reflect on which areas of the of the industry, of our world, are we driving and which areas are we reacting to. And it seems that within technology, there's the certain areas of technology. I mean, we both work in different events in the technology space, myself on regulation of AI and you within the energy sector. And it's interesting hearing industry views on how you as an events industry are adopting and reacting to driving to change in technology. Seems that on the marketing and venue modeling side of things, this is going, you know, incredible things happening there with the digital twins, which you're expert on as well. And but perhaps on the AI front, we're a bit more reactive and apprehensive. Perhaps Paul Bush in his opening speech: is there going to be a Host City conference in 5 years' time? Will we need to get together because the AI will be organising the events for us? And then we had the guy from Satisfy Labs saying, well, it's just going to mean one person can do the job of 100 people. And we're all, I think, not just in the events industry, but so many people just sort of scratching heads and wondering how to make the most of these opportunities.
It's interesting you say that because that's the only, my main takeaway, I think, from all of these discussions, because everyone's talking about fan engagement, engaging the communities, digital content, over content. I think there's a problem there, a little bit of a problem there, because it's brilliant when you appeal to a different demographic for your event or for your event. Where there's going to be a bit of a disconnect, I believe, is you want people to come to see the event, and there will be a point where people won't come to see the event. If that technology is accelerating so much to a point that you can experience such a great thing virtually, then that is, I think that's a huge threat to actually venues and actually being somewhere. And that, for me, is an interesting discussion, because technology is an enabler for many things, but is it more of a threat than an enabler? I think money's good, because, you know, we had dinner the other day with the Florida team, and Mike was there from Slam Ball. It was interesting to see now, I said, post-COVID, what changes now? How has the events industry changed? And it is about sponsorship and the type of companies now that sponsor events that you wouldn't even think that would sponsor events now. There's a lot of disruption in that. Mm. And to what extent will that disrupt the industry? You know, and that sort of really leads upon to, you know, engaging fans, engaging communities, how you actually experience an event. How will it be in 5 years? You know, my son was telling me yesterday, which is a nice thing to sort of hear, that, you know, I want to go to a football game. I don't just want to watch it. I want to actually go experience that that stadium. Mm. What people say and how they do it. And I think that's really important. So we shouldn't lose sight of that.
Yeah, my niece, when she's not staring at her phone, is competing in equestrian events nationally. So events clearly have a place for the next generation. Speaking of change, we talked a bit about climate change as well. And that's one, the environment. And I think that that seems to be an area where, as an industry, we are, not just an industry, but humanity, probably we're reacting to rather than driving. And the conversation is very much focused on how do we create artificial snow rather than how do we stop the snow from melting. But that's beyond the remit of us in this room, sadly, isn't it? But I think it has to be acknowledged. Societal change. It was great to hear from the minister this morning about how sports and culture can drive change at all levels, not just at the mega event and what's been happening with the Cycling World Championships in Glasgow, Scotland, but also at a community level as well, the importance of keeping people active.
Can I say one point on this? Just, I know we're trying to sort of do an overview. Mike, is it Mike Laughlin? He made a very good comment today, and I think that's something that really resonated with me. He said that, why is sustainability such an add-on? You know, it's an add-on. It should be implied. Mm. And I think it's a really good point. And I do believe it's the same with diversity and inclusion. We hear a lot about that. And I think I've heard a lot about that the last 2 or 3 years. But these should be implied now. These should be part of that fabric that is an event. And I don't think that should be maybe an additional thing that we should be doing. It should be part of what we should be doing. And that was a really, really interesting comment about that. And, you know, sustainability, the same thing. Paul Bush, I think, mentioned this morning about the food banks and how they were looking at how you save waste. And things like that are really great, but they should now be, that should be part of an event. That should be part of what you're doing. And it might be coming from, you know, you need more government intervention, you need more government funding to say, right, you know, we need to see that in advance. If you do that, we will give you X amount. And I think maybe it needs to be policy-led as well.
Yeah, I think it does need to be. I think it's starting to become a requirement, even for a conference organiser like ourselves. There was a requirement from Events Scotland. Thank you for including this in the in the requirements. Was to demonstrate what we're doing to reduce the footprint of this conference. And one of the things that we did was partner with USmart Thing. I hope some of you use that app where you can plan your journeys, not just to get here the most quickly and the most cheaply, but first and foremost, it swips that around, so your search results are sorted based on the lowest carbon route of getting to Glasgow in Scotland.
Very good. So, yeah, I just one last thing. Thank you for everyone who's come. If you have any feedback about the event, please go to Ben or myself. But any
good feedback to Ben.
Yeah, good feedback. Yeah, I was going to say good feedback to me, bad feedback to Ben. But it's really important, actually, we have your feedback, because I've really enjoyed the conference. I've enjoyed every discussion I've had, because what I found with this year's event, I don't know if you're the same, Ben, that there's a real diverse mix of people. You don't just have one demographic of person. You've got rights holders, you've got destinations, you've got suppliers, and you've got a big mix. And I think that really makes for a good event and good discussions. And I've sort of taken quite a lot from this event, more so probably than the previous events we've had. And I think that's a really important part of Host City. So thank you to everyone who's attended and contributed as well.
Yeah, it's been great to be back here in Glasgow, Scotland. Great to be back with Host City with yours. Thank you again all for coming. Thanks, Adam.
Thank you. Cheers, then. Thanks, mate.